The verse that she sang was out of Isaiah 44, and it kind of fits with the message today, where in verse 3 it says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." So let's take our Bibles and turn now to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And thank you, Mrs. Lindsay. That's a great song. The question, of course, after a song like that is, are you thirsty? Are we thirsty for the things of God? Because he will pour water on him that is thirsty. Sometimes we just don't want it bad enough. And a lot of times people in life, we see they're thirsty to be good at sports or this, and they give their all to it. What about God? Are you thirsty today? And we have a handout that's coming around that I would like you to fill out with me as I speak this morning on you and the Holy Ghost. This is old sermon. I bring this out about once a year or something similar to it. Maybe not so much like this in this alliteration, 7 points. A few of you have heard this before. I preached this, I think Pastor Seth, others. I preached this at a preacher's fellowship we had here in June that nobody showed up for. It was really, really small. And I like to live by alliterations. I literally learn and memorize truths by alliterations. And this is one, too, about you and the Holy Ghost. Using the letter F, I can literally pray this outline over and over again in my life. And I have. And I want to share it with you. I've said this before, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, if God ever gave me the opportunity to address every unsaved person on earth, I would preach the gospel. Wouldn't even think about it. That's the subject I would preach, the gospel, so they could all hear the gospel and be saved. But if God gave me a second chance and he assembled every single born-again Christian on the earth in front of me who's already saved, I wouldn't preach the gospel, they're already saved. I would say to them, what I'm going to say to you this morning. It's not a sensational sermon or anything in any way, but I think it's probably the second greatest discovery I ever made spiritually. First was knowing Christ as my Savior. Second was meeting the Holy Spirit. First, when you meet Christ. Second, when you meet the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you have never done that, or maybe some of you have, you know, and it doesn't mean you're in the Spirit today, nor I. Samson was filled with the Spirit 4 times. How'd he end up? Wasn't good. Wasn't good. Saul, King Saul, first king of Israel. He was filled with the Spirit 4 times. How did he end up? He ended up so bad, God wouldn't even listen to him anymore. And so this truth is a perpetual truth. It is one that we meet Christ as our Savior once, and we're saved, and we're saved forever. And I hope that if you have any struggles with eternal life and the eternal security of the believer, I think I have a good message for you tonight at 6 o'clock, or it'll just help all of you with the assurance of your salvation and a lot of other wonderful blessings that come along with salvation. But today, if I had the chance to speak to every believer in Christ on earth, this would be the subject. I wouldn't even think twice about something else. I wouldn't try to impress anybody. I would just try to be as clear and as plain as I can be about you and the Holy Spirit. You and the Holy Spirit. Our text says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Now, this may be the reason why some of you are saved but are still struggling with the flesh, still struggling with the world, still struggling with the devil, still struggling with besetting sins, still struggling with addictions, still struggling with the same fault over and over for decades and decades and decades. It might be because you have never yet met the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Jesus, the last night he was alive before his crucifixion in an upper room, gave a discourse. It's the longest discourse in the New Testament. It goes from John 13, 14, 15, 16, and then his prayer in chapter 17, and then he goes out to the Mount of Olives in Gethsemane, where he is arrested, imprisoned, and then crucified the next day, buried, and then 3 days later he would rise from the grave. But during that discourse in the upper room before his arrest, one of the main focuses was on him introducing his disciples to the Holy Spirit. In fact, in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus will refer to the Holy Spirit as he, him, or himself 20 different times. And basically his message to his disciples was, listen, I'm dying tomorrow. You don't believe it, but I am. You're going to see me for a little while, for about 40 days, and then I'm going to ascend into heaven. You're never going to see me again, except for John on the Isle of Patmos. That'll be an exception. You're never going to see me again, but I'm going to send somebody in my place to help you. And that's the person of the Holy Ghost. And he is going to live inside of your body. Your body is going to become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, he's going to bring the power of Almighty God with him to help you be what God wants you to be, do what God wants you to do, and go where God wants you to go. And become what God wants you to become. The Holy Spirit. And so he is getting his disciples ready to meet the Holy Spirit. And I would encourage you to do that. I met Christ in 1969. I met the Holy Spirit in 1980. I wish it hadn't been so long, because I was a teenager during those times trying my hardest. I know now it was in the flesh, and yet somehow God blessed and used me during those years in some ways. But when I met the Holy Spirit spiritually and was introduced to him and began to have number one fellowship with him, that's number one. I'm talking about the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Write that down. Number one, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. That's what the word communion means. Life began to change. And since that time, these last 40-something years, the Christian life has been so much easier. And I have found that Christ's burden is light, his yoke is easy, his commandments are not grievous, and he can give us the power to get the victory and to do God's will. And I wish somebody had introduced me to the Holy Spirit earlier in my walk with the Lord. And I began to have communion with him. If Jesus called him he, him, and himself, then he's a man. He's of the male gender. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's a person. It's not just some force or feeling. He's a person. And he lives inside of me. And all through the Bible, he's talking to people, especially in the book of Acts. He's mentioned 53 times just in the book of Acts, where he's talking to people and he's leading them. Well, if he's talking to us, why shouldn't we talk to him? This verse says the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And the word communion here comes from a Greek word, koinonia, which is the most intimate word possibly known. It was invented by Christians for an intimate social intercourse with the Holy Ghost. Social discourse. Now we're supposed to have that. It be with you all. Notice the word all there. Turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Philippians 2 and verse 1, or I can just read these verses. You got them to study, but I hope you'll pay attention to this. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. There's the same word, koinonia. One verse it's communion, this verse it's fellowship. Fellowship in the Spirit. We are supposed to have fellowship. Now, I hope by now you are having fellowship with God the Father, that you talk to God the Father. You should. So should I. I hope you find it normal and natural in your spiritual walk to talk to God the Son, Jesus Christ. But why don't we talk to the Holy Spirit?
I want to encourage you to begin to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He wants to speak to you. You speak to Him. It's discourse. It's communion. It's fellowship. It's not a one-way street where He just does all the talking. You talk to Him. And you ask Him to help you in everything that you do. And as we do that, we come to number two, the filling of the Holy Ghost. The filling of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and number 8, which is probably one page back in your Bible if you ever caught up to Philippians 2. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Notice, second of all, we're supposed to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's something I can't quite explain, but sometimes the Holy Spirit is presented to us as a person, as God, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But another time, He's presented to us as a measurement. As a measurement, and He says to us, be filled with the Spirit, which means there are some times where people are filled with the Spirit, other times where they are not. Now, can I explain this completely? No, I can't complete. But it does say this about Jesus in the book of John. I will read this for you. I'm almost there. John 3 and verse 34, this interesting verse. It says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Now, this is speaking about Jesus Christ. You see, He was full of the Spirit. God didn't give Him the Spirit by measure, but He gives us the Spirit by measure. He's presented as a measurement that we can be filled with. Some people are filled with the Spirit. Some are not. They're indwelt by the Spirit, but they're not filled and overflowing and controlled by the Holy Ghost. I remember one guy had a big glass jar of rocks, big rocks in it. And he poured water in it and it looked full. He says, "Is this full?" He said, "Yeah." Well, he started taking the rocks out. And as he took the rocks out, the water level went down, and you find out that the jar wasn't filled. And he said, "These rocks represent the sin in our life. These rocks represent self in our life. And if we can get sin out of our lives, and if we can get self out of our lives, there's more room for the Spirit to fill us." And so he poured more water, and he filled up the container. I thought that was a good visual aid. I thought that was a good object lesson. Obviously, I still remember it. And it's like that with us. Sometimes, you know, you cannot be filled with the Spirit, and I cannot be filled with the Spirit if we're filled with sin and self. It's not going to happen. But as He sanctifies us and we get the sin out of our lives and we're filled with the Spirit and the self out of our lives, we can be filled with the Spirit. He can give us a greater measure of the Holy Ghost. I think this is what Jesus meant when He said to us in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, a prayer that I pray all the time. Jesus said this, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall He give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him?" What a promise. I don't know what all it means, but I've said to God thousands of times, "Lord, You said You'd give the Holy Ghost to them that ask. And I'm asking You to give me the Holy Ghost, to fill me with the Holy Ghost." You know, the whole church can be filled with the Spirit. It's not just something for a few preachers or evangelists or something. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "And when they," the church, "had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Can you imagine if everyone here was filled with the Holy Ghost? And what is the evidence? They speak the word of God. They're not ashamed. They're not ashamed. They speak the word of God with boldness. This is the church in revival. They were all filled with the Spirit, which beckons the question, can women be filled with the Spirit? Can you girls that are here be filled with the Spirit? Well, let me read Acts chapter 2 and verse number 17. On the day of Pentecost, Peter was trying to explain what people were seeing. And he said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Notice that, daughters, verse 17, handmaidens, verse 18, in the last days, God said, "I'll pour out my Spirit on you." If you're a lady here, if you're a girl here, and you're struggling with the flesh, you're struggling with besetting sins, you're struggling with faults, you're struggling with addictions, and you're saved, or you're struggling being ashamed and you've never testified, you never shared Christ with anybody else, and you're struggling getting some footing in the Christian life and your journey and doing God's will for your life, and you're saying, "Boy, as a I'm a woman, I'm saved, you're indwelt by the Spirit just like men are." Number two, you can be filled with the Spirit. Every girl in this room, every lady, young lady, older lady, can go to God every day and say, "Oh God, fill me with your Spirit." If you're struggling being a wife, the Holy Spirit can help you do better. If you're struggling being a mother, the Holy Spirit can help you be better. If you're struggling as a single woman, there's a lot of struggles for single women, the Holy Spirit can help you through that season in your life. So many times I used to pray coming home saying, "God, I'm a father now. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I've never raised kids before. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me be a husband. I don't know what my wife needs today. Help me when I get home. And Holy Spirit, help me to know what to preach. Help me to know how to be a pastor. I'm going to counsel somebody. I don't know what to say to them. I'm trying to write something here that I hope people will read. Help me with this." And we can be filled with the Spirit. We can have a greater measure and portion of the Spirit of God on us, every one of us, men and women. You've got to understand this. It's not just for preachers. We so often hear, "Oh God, fill the preacher with the Spirit." No, the Bible says, "May the Holy Ghost give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to us." Your whole church attendance experience will change if before you come to church, say, "Holy Ghost, help me to hear what you have to say to me today." And he'll help you hear. He can help you do anything. You ladies can be filled with the Spirit. You can be soul winners extraordinaire. In fact, I've seen some women who by far do greater than men as soul winners, leading others to Christ. Now, as we have fellowship with the Spirit and we're filled with the Spirit, number three, and this is precious, we begin to mature. We have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Now, the fruit of the Holy Ghost is what every human being on earth is looking for. It's defined in nine words in Galatians 5, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." That's what every human being on earth is looking for. And we can have it for free as we mature in the Spirit. Now, it's one fruit. It's not nine different fruits. "Oh, I have this one, but I don't have this one." No, it's something that begins to mature. That it's been said that that's, in nine words, the greatest description of Jesus Christ ever. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And we can be like Christ as the Holy Ghost works in us, as we're fellowshipping with him, as we're filled with him. He begins to change us so that if we grew up and we had no love, He begins to mature love in us and joy and peace and long-suffering. It's been said the first three have to do with our relationship with God, love, joy, and peace. The second three have to do with our relationship with others. We need long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness to minister to others. And the last three have to do with living with ourselves, faith, meekness, and temperance. Have you ever seen a man or a woman without temperance? It's not very good to look at if they don't have any self-control. They lose control of themselves. They lose control of themselves physically or emotionally, and they do things they regret the rest of their life. But the Holy Ghost can come and give us self-control so we can say no to temptations and yes to God. And these things begin to mature in us. Now, they take time. There are no shortcuts to spirituality. None. Don't try to find any. And if there's some cult out there saying, yeah, we got the shortcut, they're lying to you. There's no shortcuts. Anyone that's ever grown up on a farm knows that. We used to have an orchard on our farm. There's only one tree left, but we'd plant that apple seedling, and we would not expect fruit on it for 8 years. After 8 years, we'd see an apple. And boy, we'd be so excited. Hey, we got an apple on the tree. The next year, some more apples. The next year, some more. And it's called maturity. That's what the word fruit here means. As that tree fruit. You know, those trees got so that the branches were so loaded with apples, they were touching the ground. So much fruit. And as you and I mature in our walk in the Holy Ghost, we begin to manifest more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. And when this happens, you can live with yourself without being your own worst enemy. You can live with others, no matter how ornery they are, and try to help them. And you can live with God, love, joy, and peace. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has for us if we'll pursue this. And then there is the freedom of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned temperance. And number four, the freedom of the Holy Spirit. This freedom is in two directions. We finally have the power of God to be free from sin, self, from our addictions, our besetting sins, our faults, free from that, so we now have freedom for doing God's will, things that once were impossible for us to do spiritually, He now enables us. Some of you might be young in the Lord, and you're looking at God's will, and you're saying, I could never do that. You're absolutely right. I tried it. Try to live the Christian life in the flesh. I'll tell you from experience, you're going to fail and you're going to fall and you're going to be shocked how far you fall. But when you have the Holy Ghost, this verse here, that's on your sheet, if you'll memorize it, it has this promise. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's freedom. Write that down, number four, freedom. There is where the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is. Now, some people don't want Him. They say, yeah, I'll take Jesus, but I'll take it from here. You know, I don't want to get too far into this thing. But some people, like Mrs. Lindsay saying, are thirsting. Ho ye everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. There's seven emblems of the Holy Ghost in the Scriptures, and one is water. He can satisfy you. The world can't. Hollywood can't. Hollywood tries, man. They put billions of dollars into trying to satisfy people. People want, what's next? You know? What's next? What movie can you come up with next so I can rush to the theater and try to find satisfaction and continue on in my life of emptiness? But the Holy Ghost can satisfy you. Thank you for that song, Joan. We appreciate that. I haven't heard that in a while. Liberty from sin, liberty to serve. Some of you that know the Holy Ghost, it's amazing the service you've had for God. Because there was a day when you said, that's never going to happen. I think I got like a C- in speech class in high school. I mean, real candidate to be a preacher there, I mean, right? If you look at that report card, God says, I think I'll choose him. Mrs. Bates. She was all over me. I didn't do good in that class. But God can enable us by the Spirit of God. And the things you keep saying you can't do, if you'll have fellowship with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and you'll have the freedom, the liberty to do what God wants you to do. And to be free from sin. Boy, some of the sins that I thought, man, there's no way I'm ever going to overcome this. I was surprised, like the songwriter said, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And some of you maybe are hiding something today. You have sins that to men's eyes are hidden. But God knows, and he can help you by his power to be a different man, a different woman, to be free. Freedom. Flowing, number five. A few more things here. This was something that jumped out of the page at me one time studying John 7. In verse 37, Jesus said kind of some strange words, and then he explained what he meant. In verses 37, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. I can't believe, Joan, how that song fit into the sermon today. That's a blessing. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, that sounds good. Flow rivers of living water. Because we're taught in the book of Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And he that loveth it shall eat the fruit thereof. Maybe some of you today are tired of killing people with your words, your gossip, your slander, your backbiting and talking about people behind their backs. Death. Maybe you killed your marriage with your words. Maybe you killed your kids with your words. Kids don't want anything to do with it. Death is in the power of the tongue. But it also says this, life is in the power of the tongue. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. Water that gives life to people. What in the world is he talking about? Then in the next verse he says this, but this spake he of the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. So write that down, number five, the flowing of the Holy Ghost. The flowing, we're now living water. Wouldn't that be something if a husband had living water for his wife when he talked to her? And a wife had living water for her husband when she talked to him. And parents had living water for their sons and daughters when they talk to them. It's not always like that. I mean, it's so negative in this world, it's sickening. I can't even watch the news or read the news. I mean, some of these conservatives, I'm as conservative as a man can be, but these conservatives who are cursing our president are going to stand before God and be judged at the judgment seat. You do not curse the leader of your people. That's what the Bible says. And don't you have any part to do with it. I don't know what's wrong with conservatives. I love what they stand for. I'm so conservative, I'm far to the right of the conservatives. But you don't curse your president. You do not curse your president. I'm just, the way people are talking, it's just death. You know why? Because what's going to happen the next time we have a conservative president? Who are they going to curse? Do you see what we're doing to our country? We are rotting. It's a cancer. Our words are producing death. It's in the church. It's in our homes, our marriages. People just killing each other with their words. But the Spirit-filled man, from his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Spirit-filled woman, the Spirit-filled girl. What's the best thing you can do? Win some soul to Christ. That's living water. That's living water. Some girl, some young lady, you could learn to be a soul winner. You can go to your school, your public school. I used to lead friends to Christ in my public school. We're still friends today. Just saw one of their mothers at a funeral Friday. Living water. The things we can say can bring life. Life. Living water. That's the Holy Ghost. That when He's filling us, He speaks for us, He brings life to people. Somebody's discouraged, you just put your arm around and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You're going to make it. This is going to come to pass. I'm praying for you. And that brings life. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. It helps people be healthy spiritually. Number six, the fire of the Holy Ghost. And number seven, the fight of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. You know, those seven emblems I talked about, water was one of them. The fire is an emblem of the Holy Ghost. Like Pentecost, it says cloven tongues of fire sat on them. Fire is a picture or an emblem that represents the Holy Ghost. You're not filled with the Spirit if you're lukewarm. You're not filled with the Spirit if you're cold. Jesus said, I would you were hot. I would you were hot. The psalmist said it this way, and it's quoted in the New Testament in Psalm 104 and verse number 4. He maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. John Wesley used to have so many people come to hear him preach, and they couldn't understand it. And they say, why, how come so many people come and hear you preach? And he used to say, I just set myself on fire, and people come and watch me burn. Abraham Lincoln said, I like to hear those preachers that look like they're fighting off bees. You know, that's what Abraham Lincoln said. He was so sick of boring preaching. It is a sin to be boring about something that's so alive. And it is a sin to be so dead about something that's so alive. And some of these preachers that we have in our country that have literally buried churches with their dead preaching, literally buried them, put them in the grave, shut the doors, lock the doors, turn the lights out because they're so boring. The Holy Ghost wants to give us some fire. All of us. There'll be some fire in our home. It ought to be a warm place of Christian fellowship. And there ought to be something about us going to the workplace where it's like, okay, this guy's different. And once in a while, man, just get to say something. Fire. We need the fire of God again in church, soul winning, conversations in our home, in our work. In our lives. It's good to be around people who are on fire for God. There's always a few in every church. Praise the Lord for them. But we all should be that way. So what the Holy Ghost wants to do is put us on fire. And the last thing is the fight of the Holy Ghost. The fight of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a fighter. He is a restrainer. He is a hinderer. There's some verses down here that you can study. But you got to keep this one in order. You got to. Some people like to fight about issues, but they're not filled with the Spirit, and they do a lot of damage. You can talk about issues like homosexuality or something like that, and some like to fight against it, but they don't have the fruit of the Spirit. They don't have the love, and they do a lot of damage to some people who want some help. My wife's cousin was in that lifestyle for 10 years, and he got saved, and Jesus set him free. And now he goes around college campuses and debates that issue. He's got a ministry. But if we don't have love when we talk about some of these issues, we're going to do a lot of damage. They're going to think we're, what do they call it? Hate, I don't know. They got things reversed sometimes today. Well, you hate people. No. We just believe fornication is wrong. No matter what form you practice it, it's wrong, but we want you to know God loves fornicators and died on a cross to save them for their sins. And they can have eternal life too. You can be saved. Anyone can be saved. Right up to your last breath, you can be saved. But not after. And no matter what you're involved in, the Lord can save you. And maybe if they saw a little bit more love out of Christians who say, well, this isn't right, or this isn't right, or something, but you didn't love Holy Spirit. So I put this one number 7. I don't know if this is the order for me that works for me. I don't know what order, but I want to keep these in order. I don't want to go to number 7 and start fighting with somebody about not have the fruit of the Spirit. Because then we're just sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, making a lot of noise, doing a lot of damage to people. So, well, I'm telling you something. I don't know. That outline there has help me, I think, more than any truth I could possibly teach you, possibly, is knowing the Holy Spirit in a personal way. Be careful, because we got the Samsons in the Bible. Maybe you're here and you say, oh, I knew all about that 30 years ago, Pastor Cole. You didn't teach me a thing today. How are you doing today with the Holy Ghost? Are you filled with the Spirit right now? Saul, what a wreck he became. Let's see. I think I'll change this song here. We'll sing. Maybe it'd be a good morning to do some prayer. You know, my house should be called the house of prayer. I always say that. That's what Jesus said. 870. Would you turn with me in your hymn books to page 870? How are you doing today with the Holy Spirit? Not with God the Father, God the Son. That's important. But the Holy Spirit. Maybe as we stand and sing together, you might want to come to this altar this morning, or these front chairs or something, and just pray about this. Just say, God, maybe you've never talked to the Holy Spirit. And I don't care how long you've been saved. I was never taught this for 11 years. Nobody once told me to have communion with the Holy Ghost. As we stand together, maybe you'd come and pray today and ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Won't you come and pray? The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. He came in mighty fullness there. Fevers won the lost, and multitudes were born again. The Christians scattered over all the world. They preached the gospel fearlessly. Though some were martyred and to lions hurled, they marched along in victory. Our filling. mighty power. Move now among us, stir us, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, revive the church today. As the piano plays before we sing that last verse and leave today, some of you young people, you young men, you young ladies, I'm so glad I do not have to grow up in the world that you're growing up in. I'm glad I'm almost 65 and I'm getting old. I'm glad some things don't matter to me anymore. But this is a hard world where everything about it is to cater to your flesh, to make you have a horrible fall someday. But you can be filled with the Spirit. You teenagers can be filled. I proved it from the Bible today. Not my word, from the Bible. Daughters, handmaidens can be filled. Young men, you can see visions. You can, even in this day, you can have a vision from God of what He wants you to do that'll just blow your mind what God wants you to do with you young men and young ladies. And any one of us, there are Bible verses about senior citizens and old people being filled with the Spirit of God too. Any one of us can be filled with the Spirit and be used of God. But boy, there are traps set. There are traps set for you young men and young ladies that even 2 Timothy 2 says you might not ever get out of. It says peradventure God will give you repentance to the acknowledging the truth. But you might step in a trap you'll never get out of. But walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5. What are you going to walk in, young people, the Spirit or the flesh? Maybe do some praying here. We're going to sing this last verse, go home. Let's have these thoughts on our hearts. Then in an age when darkness gripped the earth, the just shall live by faith was learned. The Holy Spirit gave the church new birth as Reformation fires burned. In latter years the great revivals came when saints would seek the Lord and pray. Oh, once again we need that holy flame to meet the challenge of today. Come, Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need your filling, your love, and your mighty power. Move not among us, stir. Revive the church today. It's for everyone. Don't leave thinking that was for someone else. It's for everyone. Boy, if you need to be saved and you're not sure what that means, I'll be the last one just about to leave the building this morning. Be glad to talk to you or have somebody talk to you and show you how you can receive the gift of eternal life for yourself. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming. 6 o'clock. I think it'll be a good sermon. It'll help us all tonight. Enjoy our salvation. Hope we'll see you back. You're dismissed.